Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Oi, Billy! Oscar! Dave! Get up! Francine Marie Show's on!
Good morning. Thanks for joining us. We thought we'd give you a COVID-19 love story. When was the last time you had a real gut-wrenching, oh, that's so sweet love story? Well, we're bringing one to you this morning. Sue Setzer is our guest. I want to welcome her. Good morning, Sue.
Good morning. How are you?
I am good. When I heard about your love story, I said, what is her phone number? So I'm so glad that you decided to tell us about you and Peter.
I'm delighted to let you know anything that you're interested in. You can do the math and figure that I'm 75. He's 82. He had a birthday. And we met while I was in college, and he was just ready to graduate from seminary. So we have had 53 years of marriage.
Wow, you've been married over 50 years. What kind of advice can you give someone who says, because I know you hear this all the time, what's the secret, Sue? What's the secret sauce?
Oh, the secret is very simple. It's the one word. It's called forgive. Forgive and forgive and forget.
Okay.
That's what kept us together. Sometimes I've said that over the 53 years, we've really had three marriages. There have been two very difficult times, as happens in many marriages, where we might not have made it, but with a good amount of prayer and counseling, we came out stronger each time. And now we have been battling with, and I don't like to use war terms, but I don't know any other way to talk about Alzheimer's, except the battle for at least 10 years.
Did you see the progression coming? Like, what do you tell a loved one without getting on their nerves? It's like, honey, you put the ketchup in the trunk of the car, or, you know, the little things that we do. When did you notice that this might be an issue?
I noticed it first when he started losing his sense of direction when driving and would stop in the middle of an intersection and not know which way to go. Of course, we were with a lot of other traffic at that time. And as far as how do you learn the hard way, my big aha came, and I stayed in a lot of Alzheimer's support groups, as did he in the early stages. You learn to say, this is not Peter acting, this is the Alzheimer's. And when we would get mad not at each other eventually, but we would get mad at Alzheimer's for making him no longer be the strong, intelligent man that he was when I met him. So it takes a lot of grace. It takes a lot of patience on both sides. But once I realized he had brain damage, because that's what Alzheimer's is, their growth in the brain damaging it, then I could be so much more patient and compassionate. That's not to say that I didn't lose it sometimes. I did. But that's where the forgiveness came in. And there was a lot of that.
Did you start doing things differently once you got the diagnosis that Peter had Alzheimer's, or was it diagnosed with early on dementia?
It was diagnosed first as mild cognitive impairment. And then, being a public figure as a Lutheran minister, he decided to be public. And when I had interviews with newspapers and talked openly about it, and volunteered to be in a clinical trial to try a new experimental drug, that after 2 years of injections once a month, the drug was called ineffective because the study showed that it did not slow down Alzheimer's. But he, in that process, had the test for his brain, and the scan showed the Alzheimer's plaques and how. And that was the hardest moment in both of our lives, was to really have the name on it, knowing that there was nothing that would ever change it. Now he's in the advanced stages. And 2 years ago, well, 5 years ago, we moved to Aldersgate from our dream home in South Park in order to prepare for the day that he would need to be in memory care, which happened 2 years ago, when I could not manage him at home anymore. And today, the timing of this is very emotional for me because he is in hospice care at the memory center in the advanced stages of Alzheimer's and near the end of life. This morning, I wrote my first draft of a letter for our chaplain to read to him that will tell him all the things I need to say. To thank him for 55 years of love. Right now, I can't get in to see him. Nobody can. And that's a good thing because this is protecting both of us from the virus. So for 45 days now, we have been in isolation and will be probably before phase three, which will likely be July, the end of July, when we cannot get face-to-face. So I get to see him through a double-pane window at his room. And at 11 o'clock every day, the med tech, if he's able to, gets him out of bed and puts him in a chair. Many days, his eyes are open and he loves to sing, and so we'll sing a couple songs. I call our daughter and grandson, who's nine, they live in Mount Holly, and they FaceTime so they can see him. If he can't see them, part of the disease is that it destroys visual perception. But I can tell him that they love him and they can see him. We always end with the Lord's Prayer together, and Peter still has those words. Today, he did not open his eyes at all. He was in the chair, and whether he heard me or not, I don't know, but I got to see him, and I believe in the power of love going through glass and communicating powerfully with him. And I know that when he's alert, he still tells me that he loves me and that he loves our daughter and grandson and our husband. And that just makes it such a beautiful circle and gives me the courage to keep going back every day, not knowing how he might be responding.
So you guys are both in Aldersgate community. I love that community. I really, really honestly do. Shout out to the staff over there. You're living in Aldersgate and your husband is, but now you're separated into two quadrants. You look through a double pane glass every day and sing love to him. And I do believe that love does penetrate time and space.
Yes. And I have to trust that it will forever. That's my faith.
Well, as I sit up here with tears in my eyes, it's with joy though, you know, that you keep moving on. What are you doing for self-care?
Oh, I have a lot of friends. I stay active in my church, even virtually. I walk every day. Aldersgate has 231 acres of beautiful lake, azalea gardens, forests, trails, and then next door is the Charlotte History Museum, which is a lovely place. So I walk after I visit with him and then sit in the herb garden behind Hezekiah Alexander's house. It's surrounded by boxwoods, a very sacred little secluded spot. And I pray, and I do that every morning.
We do have you in our hearts and our minds. 53 years of marriage, Sue and Peter.
Yeah.
You give us hope through this hard time, Sue. You're giving us some hope with your love story. Thank you so much for joining
Wonderful.
Us.
Wonderful. I want you.
I want to thank Ken for introducing us.
It's been a joy to be able to talk about it with someone who can appreciate it and to give hope that whatever happens, faith, hope, and love can sustain us.
You're listening to the Francine Marie Show. We're popping out for a quick cup of tea, but we'll be right back.
Please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing, the Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.